Welcome back to another edition of the Unfiltered Podcast, part of the Santa Mirta Podcast Network. My name's Ben, and I also write an online column about Santa Cruz, California called The Weekly Dump, which I publish every Thursday over on www.santamirta.com. Go check it out if you're not familiar with it. So things are finally starting to resume some sense of normalcy after months of dealing with the Camp Bernal fiasco. It's gone, but certainly not forgotten. And it won't be forgotten anytime soon. People who allowed this to happen need to own this. It won't be swept under the rug, like the city tries to do with so many of their other mistakes. I've seen some photos of the new River Street camp, and things seem much more stable there. It's actually clean, well-maintained, and run with a no-nonsense and no-bullshit attitude by the local Salvation Army. And guess what? That camp has rules. And the rules that camp has are the same rules the local kook army has been whining about. You want to live in a state of self-governed anarchy? Go live in the desert somewhere. But if you want to apply that here, you can go fuck off. I wanted to talk about a great letter by local writer Stephen Kessler, who had an op-ed in the Senile this week. It's so good, I just wanted to read it in its entirety for anyone who might have missed it. So here it is. The suffering souls on the streets of our town evoke a complex mixture of emotions among those of us lucky enough to be housed. Few of those feelings are purely positive, empathy, kindness, or negative, revulsion, fear. Any more than the, quote, the homeless can be reduced to some all-inclusive generalization. Even the most obvious categories, the alcoholic, the addicted, the mentally ill, the down on their luck, are made up of individuals with individual stories and personalities, not unlike the rest of the population. Compassion is a word we hear a lot on this subject, and I certainly feel compassion for those who, through no fault of their own, find themselves exposed to the cruelties of having to live outdoors. But like everyone else I meet in the world, or whose paths cross mine, how I feel about them as individuals depends on their behavior. I have little patience with obnoxious, aggressive, or otherwise unpleasant people, whatever their excuse may be. Anyone who wishes to be regarded with kindness or sympathy should know such consideration as a two-way street, and that if they wish to share the common spaces of any community, they need to practice citizenship like anyone else. They are not necessarily owed anything by the system, unfair as it may be. I don't have much compassion for the apparently able-bodied young man who testified at a city council meeting that he's been homeless for 17 years, which sounds to me more like a lifestyle choice than an inescapable misfortune. I do feel compassion for the business owner who has to clean up the human waste she finds on the sidewalk in front of her store when she comes to work in the morning. I feel compassion for her employees, whose hours may be cut and whose jobs are at risk because customers are afraid of some of the scary-looking antisocial hangers-on around outside the doors. If business gets bad enough, those workers could end up on the street themselves. I feel compassion for the cops and firefighters who have to deal with dangerously deranged or overdosed or otherwise troubled characters who jeopardize public safety and health. And I feel compassion for the city staffers and elected officials who are trying in good faith to mitigate the suffering of the down and out only to be vilified by self-righteous activists for not being able to solve overnight systemic societal problems those public officials did not create. I feel compassion for the kids whose bikes get stolen, and for the worried parents who have to be vigilant in public parks and comb the beaches for discarded needles, and for people whose cars and homes are broken into by those too desperately messed up to care what they're doing to others, including the other homeless ones whose plight they are making worse by association. So when agitators for justice do nothing more than make inflammatory accusations in public forums against those who have taken on the thankless task of representing the interests of their constituents, the whole community, not just the most unfortunate, I wonder what those justice warriors themselves are doing to solve the problems they complain about. People who want to, quote, take back Santa Cruz from those who think they have license to trash the city have as much right to their activism as the perennial protesters. If you demand compassionate solutions to problems no one else has figured out how to solve, why not adopt a homeless person? Invite them in to live with you until they pull themselves together, find work, and can pay rent. Then they may gain some self-respect and the compassion of their fellow citizens, many of whom are also living close to the edge, and through working a job or learning a skill have given themselves a boost into some modest form of material security. Unsheltered people have it bad, no one disputes that. But they're not the only ones with problems. And solutions, if any, depend on more than the kindness of the compassionate. Really great letter there, Stephen Kessler, so thanks for speaking the truth. I do want to make a couple of points to it. In the first paragraph, he talks about being lucky to not be homeless. I think luck has very little to do with it. Working hard, not blowing your money on vices, and being a responsible adult is more important than luck. Yes, luck can play a part, but it doesn't decide it. And it's not about housing status, but behavior. We need to do a better job separating the two. But I'm glad to see him calling out the word compassion locally and those who hide behind it. I'm glad to see him calling out the lazy pain-in-the-ass people who are capable of working but would rather sue people or make up job titles because it's easier than getting a job. The city has honestly done so much to help the local homeless. We've bent over backwards here. We've spent literally millions of dollars, and the only thing we really have to show for it are more homeless. I know some of those affected are grateful. I've seen it. But for a handful of kooks, most of who are not even homeless, nothing will ever be good enough. And those are the people we need to marginalize, to shut down, to arrest when applicable, and stop coddling them or giving them any relevance. They're nothing more than opportunistic grifters looking for attention and in some cases money. And those people can piss off. So I'm going to take a quick break and refill my cup. Enjoy a little music while I'm gone. Be right back.
Reality. Fantasy. Fading. Tell me where you are. You are me and I am you. Seven stars. Still not sure who is spying on our every move. sold out, buyout, free phones ring, pick up, no one home, no message left alone. Promises only flame, burning scars across the path.
Okay, I'm back, and we're in the final weeks of pushing back on the Oracle of Aptos and our misguided attempt to get the state's permission to keep dumping thousands, not hundreds, of needles in Santa Cruz. We know where 95% of those needles end up, on the ground somewhere. Public opinion on this has been decidedly in favor of shutting this down. We've garnered over 3,200 signatures against this. They have 104 supporting it. At least two of the Board of Supervisors have written letters to the state opposing this. The sheriff has publicly declared his opposition. So has the police chief. Joe Heston of KSBW did an editorial last night against it. The majority of people in the community, by a very large margin, do not want this. If nothing else comes out of this, I'm thrilled we've lifted the curtain on it and publicly called out the person trying to railroad this crap on the community at large. These people have been dumping needles on Santa Cruz for the better part of the past year, and now they want the community's permission and blessing? Where were you a year ago when you started pulling this crap behind our backs? These people can't be trusted. They're unlicensed. They aren't medical professionals. All they do is just hand out needles. Shut it down now. I'm not against a straight one-for-one exchange, but anything less than that is a deal breaker. And the city council's been discussing how they plan to close a $3 million city deficit in the coming year. Here's a thought. Don't allow a drug camp to squat on your land, ignoring it until it's far too late, and then having to spend millions of dollars on the cleanup. There's your $3 million deficit right there. Put that on a line item labeled Idiot Compassion. There's another city council meeting on Tuesday. Apparently for the first time in I don't know how long, there's no homeless-related items on the agenda. That doesn't mean it won't be talked about ad nauseum, though. You can bet Bob Noyes and his friends will be there. And there's also a Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday morning. I think a bunch of friends of mine will be trying to attend that to discuss this needle lunacy. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If we rarely found needles in public spaces, instead of finding hundreds every day, nobody would be talking about this. Nobody would care. Make it invisible, leave no trace, and a one-for-one exchange would fly under the public radar and make pretty much everyone happy. Why is this so hard to figure out? I just figured it out. Reduce the impact to the general public to zero, and the public would be okay with it because it wouldn't be in their face, in their parks, and on their beaches. I also think it's important to talk about the money side of this. Who's financing all this? Who is their fiscal sponsor? I'll just drop a couple names for you. Paul Lee, Herb Schmidt. These are the money guys behind this mobile needle exchange idea. Why aren't they the local showrunners talking this up instead of hiding behind a fiscal sponsorship? That's a question we'll likely never get the answer for. So time for another quick break. When I come back, I'll talk about some dump stuff. Back in a minute. When there's no place you feel at home, and you think you'd be better off alone. When you think there's no reason to try, and you hate yourself and wanna die. When you're filled with anxiety, So this week, some shithead broke the front window of Project Purr downtown just to steal some spare change on a table. I love these guys. They don't deserve the shit they deal with on a constant, ongoing basis. Want to know why the city's sales tax revenue is down? It's not from online shopping. It's for shit like this, and the city's constant inability or willful ignorance to prevent it. People aren't shopping downtown because it's a minefield of transient recidivists acting badly. Own it already. If you want people to shop downtown, make it safe and attractive to shop downtown. It's not rocket science, it's common sense. And I want to ask everyone to check out the latest Untreated podcast that my friend Sharon just wrapped up. It's a powerful look at local enabling and why this mobile needle exchange needs to be stopped in its tracks. Pun intended. It's available on the Santa Mirta website, as well as on SoundCloud on the Santa Mirta Podcast Network. And finally, I want to wish Peter a happy 50th. And I had a great time on Saturday. Your better half is the hostess with the mostess. So that's going to do it for me this week. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Be sure to check out the weekly dump over on santamirta.com. And you can listen to all the previous unfiltered podcasts on SoundCloud, Apple Music, Spotify, and Google Play, as well as the Santa Mirta website. So I'll be back next week with more unfiltered news and views from Santa Cruz. And don't forget, we get what we're willing to tolerate. Adios.
It's making me nervous.